I got my body and my mind on the same page, and honey, now happiness is all the rage. I got my body and my mind on the same page, and honey, now happiness is all the rage.
Hello there, this is Mark Roberts, and you are listening to the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Today, I am going solo. If you haven't heard already, my normal co-host, Kyle McEwen, will no longer be on the podcast permanently, or I guess I should say on the podcast nightly. He has some bigger obligations with his job at Basketball Monster, and so it just didn't work out for him to be on the show every night. I hope to have him back pretty often. I'm sure that's disappointing news to you listeners out there. Believe me, no one's more disappointed than I am. And Kyle, for that matter. I know he wanted to make this work, but anyway, hoping to continue the podcast here. And at least for this show, this is the last show of our week this week. This is the Friday, November 6th podcast. I'm hoping to be back next week with some new co-hosts of the podcast. But for today, it's just going to be me. And rather than going through news and box scores like we normally do, I wanted to look at the rankings on our website. This is actually something Kyle and I had planned to do before he took his hiatus, is to do sort of like a ranking show on Fridays. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pull up on the website, and if you're listening on the audio version, don't worry, I'll walk you through this in a way that hopefully makes some sense if you can't see the video. But what I want to do is just talk through some of the rest of season rankings that we have on the website, and I think highlight some players that aren't necessarily in the news every night. They don't have super awesome box scores one night that we would talk about them, or they don't have an injury or something, but they're moving up and down the rest of season rankings on our website. And I think they're worth mentioning because they're either players that you can buy or sell high or low, or maybe even pick up or drop. So I'm going to go through about 10 players that I found interesting, tell you how I would look at deciding whether or not I want to buy that player or sell that player if I have them. And yeah, that's what I kind of want to go through. So I'll show you on the screen where you can find the rankings on the website. So if you go to the dailyfantasybasketballpodcast.com, the first area you can click on is rest of season rankings. And I'm going to be working off the 8-cat roto rankings. And this is, of course, the same rankings we would use in an 8-cat head-to-head league if you aren't punting anything, or if you aren't punting any of the categories. And you can see there's a nice preview box here of the rankings. I'm actually going to go into the Google Doc and just tell you a little bit about these rankings. These are a blend of our preseason projections and the actual stats that have happened to this point in the season. And the more games a player plays, the more that we rely on the actual season's production. And it actually relies more heavily on their minutes early in the season than on their stats. So I think it's a pretty good reflection of what each player's fantasy value is at this point, sort of combining their current production while not also simply just relying on that, because we do see some performances that aren't repeatable and sustainable. And, you know, we'd rather rely on a few seasons worth of data to know what a player actually is rather than just a few games. So like I said, let's just run through some of these players and talk about them and see who we think is interesting. Who is maybe somebody we want to buy or sell. And you can see just right at the beginning, we're not going to talk about him, but Steph Curry has jumped to number one on our rankings. That should be no surprise. I think I saw that he's averaging 50 points per 100 possessions. So even though we're only giving a little bit of credit to the current season's production, that's enough to, you know, push almost anybody to the top of the rankings. But the player I wanted to start with was Victor Oladipo. He's had a nice season so far. The Magic have had a lot of interesting games, and he's played well. And he's jumped from 21st preseason. Maybe I should back up here and explain a little bit what you're looking at. So over here in the orange section, you can see the ranking and the auction value for each player. And then the purple season, you can see their preseason ranking and how much that has changed given their current ranking. And then you can see the player over here and the projections for that player for the rest of the season. So the main reason Oladipo has jumped from 21st to 14th, seven spots in our rankings, which is pretty high when you're talking about a player jumping from, you know, that's not a big jump if you're talking about somebody going from 100 to 90, 93, but if they're going from 21st to 14th, that's a pretty big jump. The story here with Oladipo, I'm going to head over to his basketball reference page and just highlight some things over here. So the big thing to notice is his minutes have jumped from 36 minutes per game last year to 41 minutes per game this year. Now, looking back at our projection for him, we've got him for, that shows up in our projections as 38 minutes per game. That even seems a little bit high. So I don't think he's going to get that. Certainly don't think he's going to get that 41 minutes per game. He's probably also not going to get that. He's not going to get the 41 minutes per game he's actually averaging. He's probably also not even going to get quite to that 38 minutes per game range. And then if we look at his stats on a per possession basis, so it strips out injury reliance on those minutes, you can see he's actually not having like a fabulous year so far. His points are down per possession from 25.6 to 19.2. His assists are down by a half of assist per 100 possessions. His steals are down from 2.4 to 2.1. His blocks are up a little bit. I'm not sure that's sustainable. His rebounds are up. It'll be interesting to see if he can keep that up, and his field goal percentage is down. So if somebody in your league is interested in Oladipo because of the high minutes he's playing and sort of the raw stats he's putting up in those minutes, I think it's probably a good time to sell high on him. Moving on. Another player who's jumped up in our rankings is Kawhi Leonard. He's come from the 23rd ranked player to 15. And the story's a little different on Kawhi Leonard. He is playing slightly more minutes than he did last year, up from the 33 this year from about 32. But in five games, that's sort of what you would expect. Doesn't seem like he has a bigger role. The story with him is he's shooting a lot more. You can see last year per 100 possessions, he would shot 21 times per game. This year, he's shooting 28 times per game. He's shooting the exact same percentage. He's still getting his three-point shots up. So, you know, rebounds, assists, steals, blocks, they're sort of leveling into where you would expect them to be. Blocks are a little higher, steals are a little lower, assists are a little lower, but I expect them to be about where they were last year. It's the points that you can see is the big difference for him. And then again, it's the volume of shots that he's taking. Part of me wants to believe that and say that that's real. And it might be. The other thing you have to realize with Kawhi Leonard is that he has been injury prone in his career. He's never played more than 66 games in his career. I think one of these years was a lockout season. So maybe that's not entirely fair, but it might be a good idea to, while I believe the production could very well be real, that he could also see a reduction in shots and or get hurt. So I think I might recommend taking the opportunity at this point to say, hey, his value can't get a lot higher than this. It might be a good time to try and sell the player if you've got him to, in a trade, but I would only sell very, very high. Like if you're looking, I would only try to trade him for, you know, maybe these top 13 or so players on this list. So I guess probably that's a hold on Kawhi Leonard. Just enjoy what you're getting, but realize it could change. But if you could get a first round player for him, a Blake Griffin or a Damian Lillard or a John Wall, or maybe even DeMarcus Cousins, if DeMarcus Cousins' owner is frustrated by his Achilles injury, that might be a good type of target. But I wouldn't go any lower than that. Next player I wanted to highlight is a little bit farther down here on the list. It is Kyle Lowry. He is up 11 spots in our rankings. If we go look at his player page, this one is also pretty interesting. You can see he's playing roughly the same minutes he did last year, almost exactly the same, 34 and a half minutes per game. We've seen him higher than that in Toronto, so that doesn't seem to be what's going on here. And stats-wise, on a per-possession basis, he's in very similar range. He's up to 27 points per game per 100 possessions from 26 and a half. Roughly the same rebounds, the same assists, the same steals are up a little bit. That will probably come down a little bit. But the story here is, even though his points are roughly the same, like I said, per possession, it's 26 and a half to 27 per game this year. His minutes haven't changed. His scoring average has gone from 17.8 to 19.2. What that tells you is that the pace that the Raptors are playing at has changed. They're playing at a much faster pace. So even though he's playing the same minutes, he's getting a lot more done in that amount of playing time. And his shooting percentage has gone up. So if you're looking for a reason to buy on Kyle Lowry, he's not doing anything out of the ordinary. The Raptors are just playing faster. And that, I think that's probably sustainable. All right, so moving on to the next player in our rankings that I wanted to highlight is Greg Monroe. He's moved up 15 spots from number 38 to number 23 in our rankings. And I think, 38 was probably pretty high for him compared to where he was preseason in most people's rankings. So he's probably a serious player to look at trying to acquire in a trade. And he's not doing anything out of the ordinary on a per possession basis either this year. His points are up a little bit from where they've been. His rebounds are down a little bit. His assists are up a little bit, and his steals are up a little bit. But those are sort of things I would expect to happen on his new team. But by and large, his fantasy value per possession is about the same as it was last year. He probably won't continue to shoot the same 60% he's been shooting, but we haven't seen him shoot in the low to mid 50s before, and I think that could continue. The big difference here is that he's playing 35 minutes a game rather than the 30 or so that we projected with a Bucks rotation that we thought was pretty deep. But it looks like they're willing to play him more minutes than that, and if that's the case, he's just going to continue to rise and rise and rise in everybody's rankings. So now might be a good time to buy low on Greg Monroe. He's averaging 20 points and 9 rebounds, 2 steals and a block. So the owner may not want to sell him. You might have to convince him, but I doubt that anybody who owns him, unless they're paying attention to these rankings, realizes that he might be a second round player right now. We've got him ranked 23rd. I think he could hold that value. So even if you could sort of act like you're buying high on him and offer a fourth round player for him, that might be a good value. The next guy I want to talk about is Hassan Whiteside. We kept him fairly low in our preseason rankings, mostly by holding down his minutes because we didn't know what to expect, what sort of role he would have. And in fact, some of the coaches in Miami said that they expected to not use him as much as they did the previous year and to use him in a way that he would play like roughly 24 to 26 minutes per game. And so far that has not been the case with Hassan. He's averaged 30 minutes per game so far this season, which would, considering the production, considering how productive he is on a per possession basis, that is a huge threshold for him to be at. And if he can sustain that playing time by avoiding foul trouble and any sort of off the court issues, I think he will be a very valuable fantasy player. And just kind of solidify that, I want to mention his per 100 possession stats. You can see he's averaging the same 26.4 points per game. His rebounds are still very high. He was at 22 per game per possession last year. This year he's at 18. He's averaging a few less offensive rebounds per 100 possessions. I would expect that to probably bump up a little bit. And he's averaging the same roughly 6 blocks per 100 possessions that he did last year. That's the thing you often worry about with these high block guys, is that their blocks are going to drop off. It looks like it's going to sustain there for Hassan. So again, the Hassan owner is probably happy with him. I don't know if they're thinking he's a top 25 player or a top 30 player, which is roughly where we have him right now. You can see our projection for him, even though he's playing 30 minutes per game, hasn't quite caught up to that. It's only at 28 minutes per game. So you might consider another guy you might consider trading for, and treating it to the opposing owner like it's a buy high situation where you feel like you've just got to have Hassan Whiteside and you're actually buying low with him. Scrolling down the rankings here a little bit more, I wanted to talk about somebody who's dropped in our rankings quite a bit, which is LaMarcus Aldridge. And this is sort of surprising because we were quite low on LaMarcus Aldridge preseason. We had him 34th. I think he went a lot higher than that in a lot of drafts. People weren't necessarily worried about his move to the Spurs. I want to show you what's going on with LaMarcus and why he's dropping in the rankings, and kind of talk through whether he's somebody we would think about maybe buying low on. Through 5 games, he's only averaging 32 minutes per game. So that's the first thing to notice. It's not the 36, 37, 39 minutes per game that he's averaged in his career in Portland. But that's really only part of the story. I do expect those minutes to continue, but even if we go look at a per possession basis down here, which I love that Basketball Monster provides us and is super helpful. LaMarcus Aldridge has dropped from last 2 seasons. He's been roughly 32 to 33 points per 100 possession. He's dropped to 22.4 points per 100 possessions. That's in part due to his drop in field goal percentage, and also in part his drop from 29 shots per 100 possessions to 21 shots per 100 possessions. So it's quite a drop for him. It seems like he's having trouble finding his shot in the San Antonio Spurs offense, which is dropping both his percentage and his shot attempts. I would fully expect the shot attempts to continue to be low for LaMarcus Aldridge. I think there's just too many good players. We talked about Kawhi Leonard already increasing his shot attempts. I wouldn't be surprised if LaMarcus Aldridge's field goal percentage increases as he becomes more comfortable, but I don't expect the shot attempts to go up a lot. The rebounds are still there, which is nice. The assists are still there, which is nice, but I just don't think he's going to be able to give you the scoring, both because he's not doing it on a per possession basis and because his minutes are going to be lower in San Antonio. So he's definitely a guy that I would be looking to trade if I had him in any sort of league. We suggested earlier this season trading him for Nikola Mirotic. You can see Mirotic is 40th in our rankings already, and LaMarcus Aldridge is 48th, and I expect that sort of trend to continue. Other guys you might want to consider, like maybe you could get Hassan Whiteside, who we've already talked about. Maybe you could get Greg Monroe. I think those would both be great players to target. Maybe you could, I don't know, if you needed a point guard, maybe you could trade him for Reggie Jackson. If you were desperate for threes and steals, maybe you could get Trevor Ariza and something else, which Trevor Ariza by himself is probably worth more than LaMarcus Aldridge, but on the trade market, you could probably get more than that. So those are, that's maybe a guy to stay away from. Mostly, like if you listen to this podcast, hopefully you took our advice and didn't draft him. But don't, I wouldn't say this is a time to feel like you should buy low on LaMarcus Aldridge. I would definitely stay away and try to trade him if you can. All right, moving on. Another guy that has dropped in the rankings is Big Al Jefferson. He's gone from 41st in our rankings to 61st. And the story with Al Jefferson thus far has simply been, let's see, get over here on the per minute page. He has dropped last season. So 2 seasons ago in Charlotte, he averaged 35 minutes a game. Last season, he averaged 30, and a half minutes per game. And this season so far in four games, he's averaged 25.5 minutes per game, which is a pretty stark contrast to 35 minutes per game that he averaged two seasons ago. But, you know, again, if we come look at his per possession numbers, you can see they're right in line with his career averages. He's roughly 25 points per game, which is not that far off from the 28 per game he or per 100 possessions he averaged last season. The rebounds are still at 14 per 100 possessions. Steals are up. The blocks are at the same rate. He's shooting roughly the same rate through four games. He's still getting the same amount of shots up. He's still, roughly the same amount of 2-point shots up. His free throws are down a little bit, but I guess I would say, you know, it's not a new team. It's not a new coach. The per minute production is the same. I think this is just a, while I'm a little bit concerned about it, I think it's mostly just a random occurrence of what's happened in four games. The dynamics of the games have called for him to not play as much, but I don't think 30 minutes per game is a lot to expect out of Al Jefferson. I think he could even be higher than that. So I'm not buying tremendously high on him. But if you could trade for him at a pretty good discount, I think he's due for a bounce back. I'm trying to think of some players on this list that I would trade him for. If I had Jahlil Okafor and Al Jefferson was out there, I think I might take advantage of that. If I had Tyson Chandler, who's off to a nice start, and the Al Jefferson owner is frustrated, I might take advantage of that. Marcus Morris, the same way. Sort of some of those guys that are a little lower on the list. Zach Randolph, if his owner wants to do a trade for Al Jefferson, I would do that trade. But I sort of, you know, just believe the situation hasn't changed enough that would warrant him really losing a lot of value this season. Moving on to the next player, I want to talk about Andrew Wiggins. He's dropped from 55th in our rankings to 70th. And the story the same way with him. You can see last year he played, I think, the second most amount of minutes in the league. That was on a per game basis, was only 36, but he played in all 82 games. This season so far, he's only played 28 minutes per game. And then if we look at his per 100 possession numbers, you can see he shot a poor percentage. I guess I don't think he's actually a 30% shooter. He's probably more in line with that 44% that he was last year. He's still getting up a lot of shots, and actually he's figured out how to get more shots up per game, which is a good sign. He's getting to the free throw line a lot more. His rebounds are at the same rate. His assists are at the same rate. His steals haven't quite caught up. I don't think he's a different defensive player, so I expect that to continue. So I guess all I'm saying is the production looks good, and in some cases looks better than last season, and he's just playing less minutes. We know that there has been a coaching change in Minnesota, but I don't expect them to move away from Andrew Wiggins. I think he is very much part of their future. While he might not be their best player anymore with Karl Anthony Townsend in town now, he still is very likely a potential superstar on their team. So I expect his minutes to bounce back. I don't know if it'll quite get to the same level it was last season, but who knows, it might. And I don't expect it to stay at the 28 minutes per game. So if he can hold on to some of those things he's gained, the aggressiveness that he's gained thus far at getting to the line and getting shots up, and if he can return to his normal shooting percentage, I think he could really shoot up our rankings pretty quickly. And that would, I think now is probably the lowest that you'll see him in our rankings. So I think he's a very good buy low candidate at this point. The other guy that has dropped pretty far in our rankings is Markieff Morris. He's dropped from 48th preseason, which I know was a lot higher than everybody else had him, to 69th. And the story with Markieff Morris, again, has mostly, I think the narrative we'll hear will be he's frustrated and he's not playing well. But, you know, if we look at things on a per possession basis, again, he's doing roughly what he normally does. You know, last season he averaged 24 points per 100 possessions. This year he's averaging in five games 23, so that's basically a wash. He's still averaging roughly 10 rebounds. His production in steals and blocks has been just fine. He's still putting up enough shots. His shooting percentage is low, but and you know, frankly, that could be a function of his off the court issues, but it also could just be a randomly bad section of games for him, and we could expect to see that field goal percentage bounce back at any point. So I think all the underlying things that you would look for in Markieff Morris's game are still there. And it's just kind of, he's been playing less minutes, which is a worry. He's playing less minutes than you would have expected coming into the season. That might be because of the off the court stuff. So I don't think I'm trading for Markieff Morris, but I did want to mention him just in case he gets dropped in your league. I think he's worth adding and just seeing if this thing turns around. I think there's a very good chance that it does. And he returns to, you know, at the very least into the top 75, but perhaps even into the top 50 fairly soon. I don't think that's a stretch for what he can give you, you know, to get, you know, the 69th best player in our rankings. All he would have to average is 14.6 rebounds, one steal, and 1 3-pointer per game, which is what we've got him projected for at this point. And I think that's very doable for Markieff Morris. Even if he's playing less minutes than we would have expected at the beginning of the season. All right, the last player I want to talk about is Jay Crowder. And, you know, I think this is really the value of doing this sort of a podcast. Jay Crowder is not somebody we would normally talk about. He doesn't show up big in the box scores, but he has made a tremendous leap in our projections and rankings. He started the season as the 133rd ranked player, and he's jumped into the top 100, jumped 40 spots to number 93. And so he's somebody I don't think is owned in a lot of leagues. A lot of players ranked below him are owned. And I think he's somebody that could really help your fantasy team in some subtle ways, which is probably why, you know, he isn't owned as much as you would expect. But if you come look at his per 100 possession numbers, you can see he's given you very similar stats to what he gave you last year between Dallas and Boston. You know, he's scoring. He doesn't quite score 20 points per game. And the fact this season he's right around 16 per game, but he gives you very solid production in steals. He's averaging 4 steals per 100 possessions. That will probably come down closer to his 2.5 steals per 100 possession career average. But that's still a very good rate. He's also shoots a lot of three-pointers. You know, his career average is 2 3-pointers per 100 possessions. And the big thing is with Crowder is he's playing 30 minutes per game in that Boston rotation. So as much as we talk about how the front court is unreliable and it's only the back court that you can rely on, Jay Crowder has actually been reliable so far. to get you the minutes that you would want in a fantasy player. If we come look at his game log, you can see he's played, aside from one game when he only played 23 minutes, which is still, you know, so that happens. He's played over 31 minutes per game. And let me show you what sort of production he can give you. I mentioned it, it's kind of subtle. He's probably going to average right around 10 points per game. So that's not necessarily a reason you pick him up, but he's going to give you some production in blocks. You know, he's about a half a block per game. He gives you over a steal a game, over a three-pointer per game. He helps you in the rebounding category. So this is 8-cat roto league that takes into account the percentages, which is not his best categories, particularly in a head-to-head league. I think he could be pretty valuable at this point. So if you're looking for a guy to pick up that's sort of under the radar, I would recommend going and picking up Jay Crowder. I think he's going to be unowned in a lot of leagues, and I think he can have solid to very steady production for the rest of the season. And if he starts to lose those minutes, I think he's an easy guy to drop and not have to worry about anymore. So again, those are the 10 players I kind of wanted to highlight and talk about that have made moves in our rankings. Some of them you want to believe, I think you want to believe in and try to acquire. Some of them I think you want to assume that they're not going to be able to keep up what they're doing and sell low or sell on or avoid trying to acquire if you can. That's all I have for today. So if you have any questions or if you have anything that you'd like to share with me, feel free to reach out to me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is at Mark F. Roberts, and Mark is spelled with a C, just like Marc Gasol. I'll look forward to doing a podcast next week. Hopefully you enjoyed what we had today, and you can look forward to hearing some of the guest hosts next week. Until then, I'll see you later. Thanks. Bye.
I got my body and my mind on the same page, and I mean now happiness is all the rage. I got my body and my mind on the same page, and honey, now happiness is all.